Got a little bone to pick with the programming department. Would it kill you every once in a while to play a little Fog Hat?
Broadcast week, our final hour together until next week. I can hardly stand that. I hate being away from you. I really do. Welcome back to the big show. Coming to you from our remote Carter Subaru studio. Got a lot of stuff here. I got a lot of news to get to. But I will tell a story since a listener requested this. I do always check the text messages, 98973, and as I said, I've gotten hundreds of messages from people who have been part of this identity theft in which the state has given hundreds of millions of dollars to Nigerian scammers. Unbelievable. And, you know, I heard the Susie Levine with unemployment soundbite, or I heard her in the newscast, and then she said they won't say exactly how much the state has sent out, and they won't say how much they've recovered so far. To which I say, why not? This is our money. You should be as transparent as can be, even if it's embarrassing to your department. But the notion that you sent hundreds of millions of dollars to Nigerian scammers out of state, it's just mind-blowing. And I bet nobody's going to get fired over this. This lack of security. And then you have all of us who have to spend hours and hours and hours calling our banks and credit card companies and mortgage companies and everybody we have any financial relationship with. And I mentioned this a couple of hours ago. So I am one of the thousands, tens of thousands of people who've been victimized. We don't know how it's happened. There have been data breaches over the years, and you'll hear about, you know, your credit card company, a financial services firm that has a data breach. And you might think, oh, well, I'm unaffected because that happened, you know, months or years ago. But apparently, these Nigerian scammers, they were gathering our info on these data breaches and then waiting for an easy mark like the state of Washington, waiting for somebody stupid enough to fall for them sending these unemployment checks or out of state. I mean, these are Washington state citizens who can't get their unemployment now for days and days and days. There are many people who haven't been able to get through for weeks. And they've lost their jobs because the government has shut down the economy. And then the government won't even honor the unemployment because you're overmatched. It's just, it's crazy. But what somebody in the text messages reminded me of, they said, Dory, how can you be surprised our government gets ripped off? What did we lose in that copper scam? And if you don't know this story, it really is one of my favorite stories of government idiocracy. And this happened, I don't remember how many years ago, but Jorge Carrasco, he was the head of Seattle City Light, the superintendent, and he made more money than any Seattle government employee. And one day, a couple of men walked into City Hall. And they were wearing Native American garb. They had on, you know, like suede, fringy vests. And they were carrying little trinkets. They had, you know, copper bracelets and beads. And they showed up and they said, hey, we're Chief Little Bear and Joe Wolf. So those are the names these two guys came up with. Their actual names were Michael George and Jim Costa. But they went into City Hall and said, Chief Little Bear and Joe Wolf here. Can we talk to the head of Seattle City Light? Well, now, if you and I walked in and said we want to meet with the superintendent of Seattle City Light, of course not. But this is where political correctness fuels absolute stupidity. Because they said, yeah, they said, why, first of all? And they said, well, we're Native American tribal members, and we're running an arts and crafts program for disabled Cherokee kids. And we want to know if Seattle City Light has any copper that we could use to do arts with our disabled, not just Cherokee kids, disabled Cherokee kids. And like I said, they're waving their copper bracelets and necklaces and trinkets. And they said, will you donate some copper to our disabled Cherokee charity? And so someone asked them for a business card. And they said, we got a bus full of disabled children circling the block. We need the copper wire now. And so they talked to the head of City Light, Jorge Carrasco. And he approved a donation of copper to these guys. And he directed a City Light executive to meet them at a storage lot in the International District. And they pointed, they said, okay, there's 100 pounds of copper wire that you can take. And so these guys, who didn't have a bus full of disabled kids, who weren't Native American. Oh, and by the way, this was the added bonus. One of the two guys was wearing a baseball cap that said Indian across the front. I'm not making this up. So they had this City Light guy say, okay, you can take 100 pounds of wire. Well, they came back with a truck that night, having been directed exactly where everything was. They took 42,500 pounds of copper wire worth $120,000. Remember, they said they wanted 100 pounds of scrap wire, and they came back and got 42,500 pounds. And the stolen wire was shipped to Fort Worth, Texas. And I just couldn't believe the story. That we had people in government that dumb. Because they were, but it's stupidity created by political correctness. If they said they're Native American and work with disabled Cherokee kids, well, we're not going to vet them any further. That might trigger them. That might upset them. If we ask for any proof of anything they're saying, so we'll just fall for all of it. But these guys, it wasn't, Ocean's 11, this meticulously crafted plot. It was, let's put on some Indian garb and a hat that says Indian on it, and let's see if we can scam these people at City Hall. That's what political correctness does you. It turns you into ninnies. Ninnies, you're so afraid you're going to offend somebody, you don't even do any vetting. Now, that's them. This is now. And let me get to our top story this hour.
The Big Lead, top story.
So, as you know, state of Washington has been scammed by Nigerians. They've stolen the identity of tens of thousands of people in our state. It might be more. And we're only scratching the surface of this. And state unemployment, which has been pathetic in serving actually unemployed Washington state citizens, state unemployment has been scammed so far out of hundreds of millions of dollars. So they obtained the identities through some other, not unemployment, not necessarily a government agency, through some other data breach, but they held on to it until they could find an easy mark. And the state of Washington was it, apparently. There are only three states that had a big jump in unemployment insurance claims in the last week. New York and California, which have the most cases, and Washington. And we had the biggest jump. And that's because the Nigerians were filing claims and getting the state of Washington to send money to them. And the head of unemployment, I thought these sound bites were comical. Susie Levine, who had a little press briefing yesterday.
This makes me the most angry and the most upset that we need to delay payments to Washingtonians who need these benefits. But we need to also build in more time for analysis.
You've been delaying payments for weeks because you're completely overwhelmed. And this all, the buck should stop with Jay Inslee with all of this. But Susie Levine was very angry at the criminals.
I want nothing more than to get those benefits out to those who so desperately need them. But we now have sophisticated criminals attacking us and impacting that effort. How dare they?
How dare they? Who is she, Greta Thunberg? Think about if this wasn't just such a tragedy in how much we have lost, think how comical that would be. She's upset that criminals committed a crime. It's your job, Susie and Jay Inslee, to have systems in place to make sure that you don't fall for a Nigerian scam. And you can express all of your righteous indignation at the people who carried this out. But I hope you're equally upset with yourself for having an absolute failure of any kind of a cross-check system to make sure that you weren't sending the money out to Nigerian scammers. It's remarkable. And as I said, lots and lots of people have asked me, is this an inside job? And I hope and assume. The problem with government is they would rather CYA than get us truth and facts. And I doubt if anyone's going to be fired, as I've said. But I'm not sure. Could Nigerian scammers pull this off without someone on the inside? And if so, then that's an even greater indictment of their lack of security. But I will just tell the dozens of people who have texted me that question about whether it's an inside job, I will just tell you I had the exact same question yesterday afternoon when this story first broke. Because I hope it's impossible that their security wasn't so horrible that just some, and I know these cyber criminals are a genius in many ways, but I would hope that you would have had some security in place to protect the taxpayers from all of this. And so that's why I wondered if this could be an inside job. And the problem is, when it's government investigating government, I fear that we're never going to get a truly honest assessment. I'm troubled that she won't tell us. She said it was hundreds of millions. Is that 200 million or 900 million? Or somewhere in between? I mean, they've talked about how they're going to have to raise taxes because of the $4 billion budget deficit caused by COVID-19. Are they going to have to raise our taxes even more? Because of a lack of security, because of an element of criminality, if it was an inside job, I don't know. But, man, I'm looking at the hundreds, thousands of, from the 425. Nigerian scammers, a system that is in place that easily sends money off to Nigeria but rebuffs the citizens of Washington. Has Jay blamed President Trump yet? Yeah, I'm sure that's coming. Now, this should be a gigantic indictment of Governor Inslee. if this is how they run the state. But this gets back to, I'm going to have to slide my other big lead stories to the next segment. But I've talked about this for years and years and years and years, and now we are seeing it come to fruition. You know, our votes do matter. And when we elect people simply because there is a letter D next to their name, or if we elect people because they check certain boxes in the, you know, social justice scorecard, and we don't elect people based on their core competency, you can get away with that in relatively good times. But in emergencies, I don't trust Jenny Durkin, Dow Constantine, Jay Inslee to get us through this emergency, because I don't believe they have the core competency, the wisdom to get us through this. And I was thinking, when I was saying this, I was thinking more about if we have that gigantic earthquake or if we had a terror attack here and we had to evacuate the region. I mean, a fish truck overturned a couple of years ago and the entire road grid was just jammed up for 8-9 hours because a fish truck overturned. But when you elect people who don't have the wisdom, the intelligence to get us through, and what we are in now is a full-fledged emergency, then what have they been doing? Well, Jenny Durkin, I'm going to close 20 miles of streets permanently. Jay Inslee, I'm going to see if I can get my cousin Mark Inslee some state contracts. They do all these things because all they care about is what got them elected. And that's their, you know, social warriorism. So we'll close down all the streets to cars. We'll create the gridlock, but we'll claim it's for public health. And, you know, we'll tax the rich to give money to illegals, which is what the Seattle City Council is trying to do. This is what happens when you elect people who can't get the job done in the toughest of times. Okay, let me take a quick time out because I got some other big lead stories. The effort to get a state income tax and the latest on that Seattle police involved shooting where a man died. Some outrageous comments about the cops that I'm hearing. We'll tell you about all of that. We'll check the news for you, and then we will continue with an extended big lead as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. I'm going to get tired of this at 2:30 on Friday, Sean, but it ain't even close yet.
Yeah, no, I hope that you never get tired of this.
No.
I got to be honest. What, you let the song play, which is really great. You let it breathe, as some in the business would say. And when you let it breathe, then I start double guessing myself. I'm like, is it really Friday? Is Dory there? Yeah. Is he still connected? Yeah. Maybe he's just enjoying the song.
I'm probably just enjoying the song, but I think concern is always warranted. So I appreciate you being vigilant.
Well, I am concerned about you, Dory, yes.
Yeah, well, you should be. All right, so it means we're into the final half hour now of our broadcast week. I know it's tragic. We do have some serious news to talk about, though. Earlier this week, we played you the audio. There was on Lower Queen Anne, a Seattle police-involved shooting. A man was brandishing a couple of huge butcher knives, and he was running at passersby, just people walking down the street, threatening them. Calls were coming in to 911.
Some dude pulled like a kitchen knife on me and started running at me.
And so they dispatched police, and police encountered the guy. And he's a big man, and he had these two huge butcher knives, and he's holding one of them. And the police try to get him to stop. They try to deploy a taser so they could use a non-lethal intervention.
Stop! Hey, stop! Get on the ground! Stop!
Okay, you hear one cop say, I got a taser. And they tried the taser, but it didn't work. Didn't bring the. I don't know if both prongs went in, but it didn't stop the guy at all. And so at that point, and in the full video that the Seattle police have released, the guy throws a piece of clothing at one of the cops, and then he continues to run away, and then just abruptly, he stops, does a 180. And lunges at the cops with the two knives.
You got the knife! You got the knife! Stay down! Stay down! Don't move!
Watch the door! Watch the door!
Don't move!
And that's when Seattle police opened fire, and they killed the man. And now we're starting to hear criticism. And I haven't mentioned the man's race because it's really irrelevant for this story. Because he has two huge knives, but he is a black man. He has two huge knives, and when you look at the frame by frame of the police footage, you see him do a 180 and start running back toward the cops. He is easily within what they call the kill zone with a knife. He looks like he's within about 10 feet of the cops, and that's when they opened fire and shot and killed the man. Some of the things that I've heard and seen since that have just been irresponsible. I saw one TV station interviewed a nearby construction worker that said they just shot him in the back as he was running away. Absolutely not true. You watch the video, and the man had turned and was running toward the cops. Carolyn Riley Payne is the president of the South Seattle NAACP, and she told Channel 4 that she's very upset by the shooting.
They had a right to shoot, but I don't think they had a right to shoot to kill. We are at the same place we always seem to get. An African-American man dead in the streets by the police.
That's so disturbing. They had a right to shoot, but they did not have a right to shoot to kill. I have no idea what she's trying to convey there. If you're a cop and a guy suddenly, who was running from you, does a 180 and is lunging at you with a butcher knife. Does this woman actually believe that the cops are supposed to shoot him in the leg? I mean, you aim at anything other than center mass, you are likely dead as a cop. And that's when cops fire their guns, they are trained to go for center mass, because they have determined that it is a deadly threat and you cannot shoot at legs. So that statement just shows such a fundamental ignorance. And that's where I think it's dangerous for Carolyn Riley Payne to be commenting on this, because she's obviously trying to rile up people. But if you watch the video, you understand that the cops had no choice. But she further told ComoNews.com.
So it seems to me that the officers need to have better training, once again, to de-escalate these kinds of situations.
And again, a guy's lunging at you with a butcher knife. What are you supposed to do to de-escalate? They'd already tried the taser. They'd tried non-lethal intervention. Whatever she's suggesting leaves cops dead. But this is a police-involved shooting with a black man. And there have been some officers who have committed murder. I mean, there was that one, where was it, like South Carolina? Somebody happened to video record it, and the cop even tried planting a weapon by the guy. But that was a case where a guy was just running away from the cop and was shot in the back. And that cop was convicted of murder, and rightly so. But don't tie this shooting in with, I mean, there have been some bad shoots. But don't tie this in, and don't try to get people all riled up when these cops had no choice, and you know their lives were literally on the line when that happened. The other story I want to make sure I touch on before we get to the end of the week is the effort to get a state income tax. And I've been telling you, I think that's the motives for a long, long time of this lockdown and this crashing of the economy. And you know, people have said, do you really think our government could be that heartless? But yeah, I believe an income tax is such a manifest destiny for Democrats in our state. And I will give credit, Senator Christine Rolfes, a Democrat from Bainbridge Island. She acknowledges that there is talk about an income tax. But I will also give her credit because she talks about the constitutional restrictions on them as a legislator.
The kind of traditional discussion about let's pass an income tax, people need to know, takes two-thirds of the legislature and a vote of the people. Conversations about a capital gains tax very likely would be a legal battle about what is that an income tax or is it a sales tax or what.
Okay, and I can answer that. By the way, she's talking to TVW here. That's an income tax. The IRS has confirmed it. Every state that does not have an income tax does not have a capital gains tax because capital gains are considered income. You claim them on your income tax form. But that's what they're going to do down in Olympia. They're going to try to pass an income tax that they call a capital gains tax and hope that somehow some activist judge will support something that is patently illegal.
The tax is that, the same reasons. I, as a budget writer, I don't look at that kind of policy as something that will dig us out of a hole in the next year. It's something that we might want to look at as part of a long-term reform policy.
Yeah, look at California. There's huge income tax in their $54 billion budget deficit. That is not a solution. It's more volatile than a sales tax is. But yes, they are talking about it. You know, that's confirmation of what I've been concerned about and warning you about. And we will stay vigilant because I am hopeful that you and I will never allow them to put an income tax here in Washington. Okay, quick timeout, and then we'll count down our favorite sound bites of the entire week as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. Is there anything more adorable than COVID monkeys? I mean, come on. All right. It's that time. Oh, and down the stretch we come. Time to count down our favorite sound bites of the entire week.
This is Dory Monson's Awesome Audio Clips of the Week.
All right, number three, lots of Joe Biden this week. Joe tried broadcasting or doing some interview from his basement, but nobody told the geese to be quiet.
Number three.
Why have they failed to get this money out to the folks who desperately need it to stay afloat? Is it incompetence? Corruption? Trump is out there tweeting again this morning. I call him President Tweety. Reopen the country. End of quote. How are we supposed to do that if you're sitting on the money small businesses need in order to stay alive?
They're not honking. They're cheering Joe. Also, we heard a little more gibberish from Joe this week. We need a translator for him. I really think we do.
We're going to create a new bio-based multi-manufacturing job environment to deal farmers in on the benefits of a changing economy.
Yes, he's going to rescue our nation from financial collapse. And then this morning, the most racist thing a major presidential candidate has said for a long, long time.
Well, you know, thank you so much. That's really our time. I apologize.
You can't do that to black media.
I can't do that to white media and black media because my wife has to go on at 6 o'clock.
Okay.
Oh, I'm in trouble.
Listen, you got to come see us when you come to New York, VP Biden.
I will.
It's a long way until November. We got more questions.
You got more questions. But I tell you, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, then you ain't black.
You ain't black. 1.2 million black Americans voted for Donald Trump 4 years ago. And Joe Biden says none of them are black because they voted for Trump. Joe Biden believes he owns black people's votes because he's a Democrat. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And the backlash has been fierce. At number two, sweet story, a FedEx driver who got chased down by a little six-year-old kid.
Number two.
So I'm doing my delivery route today, and I see this little kid chasing my truck, trying to flag me down. He's like, excuse me. So I pull over. I'm like, hey, man, what's up? He's like, can you mail something for me? I was like, yeah, sure. And he runs in his house. He comes back out, and he goes, hey, sir, do you know the pro skater Tony Hawk? I was like, yeah, I know who he is. He goes, can you mail this to him? And this is what it was.
So the FedEx driver put it on the web. Tony Hawk saw it.
Hey, Cooper, what's up? It's Tony Hawk, and I just want to say thank you so much for the skateboard. It's on its way to my house already, and as a thank you gift, I'm going to send you my skateboard, this one right here that I'm riding. All right? Thanks, buddy. I hope to meet you sometime.
Very sweet. And then at number one in Nassau County, their Dow Constantine, their county executive on Long Island there, she was telling people, she had a press meeting at a tennis complex, and she was explaining the new rules if you want to go out and play tennis.
Number one.
Every player, unless they're from the same household, has to bring their own tennis balls so that you don't touch other people's tennis balls with your hands. You can kick their balls, but you can't touch them. I'm going to blush, sorry. Of course, if you're playing with someone in your household, you can touch those tennis balls. To avoid confusion between whose balls are whose, you can use a marker, like a Sharpie, to mark out, to put an X or put someone's initials on them.
She wasn't trying to be funny. That's just how insane government control has gotten. But there you have it. Government says you can kick someone's balls, but you cannot touch them. It's official. Okay, that's our awesome audio, and that's it. Have a fantastic weekend. We'll see you next week. Take care.
We know that the world is going through a tough time right now economically. We see a lot of businesses scaling down, but not us. We're going to put on the biggest, most expensive, elaborate live show that's ever been done. Gonna make spending money battle.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.